This is Entertainment, and this will hopefully be Entertainment's first podcast. So my name is Georgia. I'm this year's head of Entertainment. With me, I have our awesome music editor, Hannah. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Hannah.
And our brilliant arts editor, Esther, whose idea this podcast was. Esther, say hello.
Hi.
So as the first Entertainment podcast, we thought we'd show arts some love. So we've done what I guess is how it should have ended, but as that's already kind of a thing, how it should have concluded, work with titles. We'll see what we call it in the end. But yeah, Esther, how did you come about the idea for this, aside from hating on Jane Eyre?
In first year, I rewrote Twelfth Night as like a Twelfth Date Night in Spoons, and I believed that Viola and Olivia should have gotten together.
I mean, they should have done.
Yeah, exactly. And then I also did a Rock City version of A Midsummer's Night Dream, so I just thought having people kind of rewrite or debate the endings of very famous classics or, like, you know, literature and pop culture would be quite a fun idea. So if there are any people who are either interested in doing the podcast or who want to rewrite them physically as an article as well,
go for
that's
it.
Also a thing.
Yeah, hopefully we'll maybe make this into a series. So today we're going to talk, well, start with Jane Eyre, because what on earth happened there? Then go on to everyone's favourite Frankenstein, and then Hannah and I will take it away with what I'm sure everyone has read of Harry Potter, because let's be honest, the kids' names were utter rubbish. They were just awful. But first things first, Jane Eyre. Do we want to do a quick... Obviously, there'll be spoilers in this for anyone listening, by the way. But do we want to do a quick kind of conclusion of, well, what happened in Jane Eyre? Mm. Do you want to do a quick plot summary, Esther?
Yes. Essentially, in Jane Eyre, our favourite protagonist, Jane, who is plain, and that's why we love her, because she's very relatable, and she ends up with Rochester, which is not how I feel like it should have been concluded.
Yeah, like it feels like when you're reading through it, up until the reveal of the wife in the attic, yeah, I know, ridiculous book if you've not read it, it's a case like, oh, if they get together, it's not the end of the world, and then he has a wife in the attic, and Kip's trying to convince her it's all fine, she runs off, and she should have stayed, but instead she comes back and looks after Rochester whilst he's blind and injured, and then he gets his sight back as well, and it's like,
yeah,
why?
With love. With love.
Yes, so love heals blindness, guys.
So he can see his children. Crazy.
It was just this constant mental manipulation between all... I love that you're also just sat here, Hannah, like, yeah. Yes, Jane Eyre is
a
thing.
I understand everything.
But yeah, no, because I had to read it for coursework last year. Mm. Not last year, even back in high school, and it was just that case of, why'd they get together? Just...
doesn't make sense. Where I feel like when you're reading the book, like when I first read the book, I think it was the first ever classic I read. And I remember being in Scotland, very ill, and it was the only book there was. And as I was reading it, I was like, yeah, you know, feminism, Jane, get out of that awful thing, like, with her aunts. Like, she went through the...
character progression?
Yeah, no, it's in, like, she went through the loops a little bit, didn't she?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Her best friend dies, and then, like, you know, she's...
but it was apparently a good thing.
Yeah, and then she becomes... so, what does she... she becomes, like, a teacher or something.
A governess, yeah.
Yeah, and then after she leaves Rochester's house, where, like, he's basically just, like, there's that other woman... whose name I cannot remember, but
March,
essentially,
I believe.
Yes.
Yep.
And then, like, she's just constantly being compared to her. She's like, right, I'm going. There's this woman in the attic. We're about to get married. And you tell me all these things. And then you think that she's going to end up being a school teacher. She seems very happy. There's that weird guy, St. John Rivers. We'll just ignore he, like, he exists.
We'll forget that he exists.
Who's her cousin who tries to marry her?
I feel like it's a good plot point, because it's the fact that, like, after leaving Rochester, you don't feel like she has a backbone up until kind of that moment. Because she's a strong, yeah, independent woman, but she's still being a nightmare and kind of annoying throughout all of it. Like, I don't know how you felt reading Jane Eyre. Like, you've just said, yeah, yeah, feminism, but she really annoyed me. But when you get to that point, he's like, oh, marry me and do that. And she's like, no, I'm going to stay here. And you're, yeah, like, yes, be a school teacher, be your own person. And then she goes back.
But that's where I liked her. I was like, as in, I liked her at the point when she was... because they had, like... It felt like if it was, like... I can't really remember the movies drawing it that much, but, like... But essentially, like, I just really liked... there was about, like, a span of maybe, like... I think it was, like, 50 to 80 pages where she's just, you know, on her own in this little cottage.
Living her life.
Yeah, teaching these kids. She has, like, neighbours who she's friends with. And she's having a good, solid life.
And it should have just ended there.
Yeah, it literally should. But it kind of feels like... do we then feel that Bronte was kind of, like, forced to, like, conclude with a marriage plot?
Well, yeah, because it was that trope of that kind of age of literature, wasn't it? Aren't you glad you do music? It was like, yes, I didn't have to. And analyze this, but yeah, I feel like you have to end with that marriage resolution. But marry her to someone else. Have someone else randomly show up. Like,
I feel like it undermines, like, you know,
everything that she built to that point.
Yeah, like just in, like, you know, like in media and stuff, you always find those like those necklaces and those quotes that people put on Instagram, like the one about like being free like a bird.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I am a bird and no cage contains me or something. And you're like, right, okay, Jane, but also did kind of get with the wrong guy in the end. Like, he's literally like,
but then there wasn't also an alternative, to be fair. Like, I don't feel like John Rivers wasn't an alternative. Roger was just useless. So either she should have been on her own or someone new should have kind of showed up, I think. But
yeah.
Yes, that would just annoy me.
But then when, like, she inherited all that money and
I know!
She should have just stayed, like, independent and it would have been nice, if that makes sense. But yeah, I guess, I don't know, she may have just had to, like, do that.
So yeah, ultimately then, they just shouldn't have got together. But I guess, so what? Do we want to vote? Hannah, you've been listening to this. Do we want to vote? Should have been an independent young woman? Or if you had to do marriage, just should have been some random other guy?
I just hate romance. So I vote for independent woman.
Esther, do you want to give a quick plot overview, I guess, of Frankenstein? Other than he creates a monster, which I believe everyone kind of knows.
Yeah, okay. So Victor Frankenstein lives in Geneva. Moves to London, goes to university, I believe, to be a medic, and then gets a bit bored one night. It's like, you know what would be crazy? Let's just cook up a monster. That sounds like a good idea.
Let's just make a human.
So then he does it. This thing comes alive, and then he's like, this is awful. And he's like crying, he's sad. Monster runs off. He's a terrible father. Like, let's just... And then, like, he basically just goes into denial and just goes through, like, you know, just the stages of grief, because he's just like, wow, I'm sad, I created something, then disowned it. And then you got sad little monster who runs away, reads some Paradise Lost, and that's always fun.
Good old Paradise Lost in Milton.
And he tries to make friends with a blind old man. Goes well at first, then it doesn't, when the relatives see him. And then he learns to hate humanity. Also, can we just acknowledge the fact that Frankenstein in the movies is portrayed as being really slow? No, that guy is speedy, like Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy Gonzalez monster.
He runs all over them mountains, like really.
Chases him everywhere, yeah. It's and a bit insane.
He tracks down Victor and he's like, why are you such a bad dad? Like, didn't even give me any, like... support or anything.
So far we've concluded the monster has daddy issues.
Yeah,
yep.
Very much so. And he's like, you know, please. And then he's like, I'm gonna get revenge on you. Oh yeah, he kills a child at one point as well. Like, minor plot point. No, quite a big one. Yeah, so like, ethically, but not really, but like, can you argue that he was driven to do that? I don't know. But like I said, daddy issues. Yeah, and then he's like to Victor, I will get you back. I will take something you love. And then Victor's like, oh my God, you're going to kill me because I love myself. And it's like, no man, what about your wife? You're the one that you've left in the room on her own when there's a monster out. And he's like, oh my God, I cannot conceive that this monster will kill me. And then he walks in and his wife's dead.
Yep.
And then the monster comes back and he's like, please, all I want is a friend. And then the monster's like, right, well, I'm going to go on a ship somewhere. And then I'm going to go and be on an island and make a funeral pyre and set fire to myself.
Yep.
And that's the end.
Always good. And this whole thing is like a frame narrative where Victor's shown up on a boat and is lamenting this horrible life as his. Mm. It's just as I think you aptly summarised, it's just, wow, I'm Victor, wow, I did a bad thing. Oh no, biggest whiny protagonist of the century.
You can tell we are not fans of Victor, and the previous,
previous head
of entertainment was also not a fan of Victor Frankenstein, so this was a recurring thing.
Yeah. I honestly couldn't stand him. But I just hate the fact that the monster dies, and I feel like that's our biggest issue with the ending of this one. One, the fact that Victor was just there at all, because he's so annoying. But obviously we're central to the plot. Mary Shelley, great book. But just... why does the monster have to die? Just because he's a monster? Like, why? Just why?
I'm not just saying this because I'm taking an 18th century module at the moment, but we've kind of been led to, like, in the direction of Paradise Lost being, like, ethics, good versus bad. Is Satan bad? Who really knows? Does God create him like that? And then you have I don't know, like, as in a lot of people, when I talk to them about the books, they're like, but he kills a child. But I'm like, yeah, but English shouldn't come in.
Yeah, we'll just gloss over
it's
that,
it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. This child has a childhood. The monster is a child without a childhood.
So ultimately, Esther, what's the verdict on Frankenstein ending then?
Victor is a giant crybaby, terrible dad, and he should have given some better child support, and maybe he wouldn't have been in the situation he was.
Now we get over to our favourite, I think, you and me, Hannah, Harry Potter.
Oh, great fun.
Do we even need to go over the plot of Harry Potter? I feel like because we've done the others, we probably should.
Yeah.
Do you want to or should I?
Oh, it's such a massive thing. You're the English student.
Oh, I
shall give you the opportunity.
I shall have the honour of... So, okay, I have actual no problems with the biggest plot of Harry Potter. Have the chosen child, almost killed at birth, Voldemort failed, should have just used a gun. Voldemort disappears, 7-book series. Years later, Voldemort keeps attacking him. Thankfully, at the end of the year, because clearly Voldemort cares about Harry's education. Really, I'd have killed him a lot earlier and saved him the exams, but whatever. Up until final book 7, obviously, Harry being the chosen one, being the great hero, defeats Voldemort, and then we go, I think 17 years later, or 19 years later, you get the brilliant epilogue of Harry's grown up, he's living with Ginny, they're married, it's great, Ron and Hermione get together, and they all have their kids, and they're all going off to Hogwarts, except for like the youngest kids of Ron and Hermione, and the youngest kid of Harry and Ginny, and their names are awful, because you have... The oldest, James Sirius Potter, no issue with that. Named after his father, named after Godfather, I can give him that one. The youngest, Lily Luna, all right, I can give you that. Lily, Harry's mum, fine. Luna, Ginny's best friend, fine, though there are better people to commemorate. But then you just have...
I actually liked that character.
I love Luna, but I just feel like when everyone died, it should have been someone else. But then you have Albus Severus and... Why? Just why would you call a kid Albus Severus Potter? Severus Snape, no matter what people say, is still a villain at the end of this, and this is my biggest issue. Like, yeah, okay, fine, he saved... Whatever, he dedicated his whole life to saving Harry and whatever, looking after Lily. But can we get the fact that he's the... It's his fault Lily's dead in the first place, because he told Voldemort the prophecy. He was an absolutely horrible person to Neville, who is one of the best characters, absolutely lovely. And it's just... I just hate him, and the fact that he's commemorated... It's ridiculous. Yes, he was still a hero by the end of it, fine. But don't name your kid after him. It's like you're named after two of the bravest people I've ever known. No, Albus is a nightmare. Like, Dumbledore is an absolute nightmare. And Severus is just... No, there were so many better characters. I mean, Hannah, do you want to weigh in and stop me ranting?
But yeah, it's like...
But they forget about, like, Lupin, for example.
Oh, I know.
He was good, wasn't he?
Loved Lupin.
Yeah.
And Tonks.
Oh. I just loved her hair. Like,
well, I feel like you yourself, you're kind of purple hair at the minute, channeling your inner Tonks.
Definitely.
But that was my issue with the Lily Luna thing, though, because I love Luna. And, like, Luna Lovegood will forever be one of my favourite characters. But so many people died at the Battle of Hogwarts that you just feel like if you were dedicating pretty much all your other kids' names to someone who died... Like, surely you should have gone for someone, like, even just changing Rubius Hagrid to, like, Ruby as a middle name to commemorate Hagrid. Yeah, fine, he's not dead, but he was the biggest parent to Harry throughout the whole series. And he's just ignored, and he's like, Harry's the reason any of this happened. He picks Harry up, he looks after him, he gives him the picture of his parents, he's always protecting him, he's even carrying him at the end. It's just like, why didn't you commemorate him? You commemorate someone who's alive, who's great, fine, and then two of the most annoying characters in the entire series.
Yeah.
Just name your kid after Voldemort at this rate. Oh, I hate it. I mean, who do you think should have been commemorated instead of kind of...
Albus Severus. I think just, like you say, like Hagrid or Lupin or Tonks or Fred. Was Fred in any of the middle names for anyone? Or
no.
Names? No.
Literally nothing. It's just, why?
Yeah.
Because I don't...
That's really sad.
I can't remember the middle names of... I mean, maybe it was in the middle name of one of Ron and Hermione's kids, because I know that was just Hugo and Rose, I think, but I can't remember what their middle names were. But it's just... it's just so annoying that just JK seemed to build up this whole thing with, yes, fine, these two major characters, and just commemorates them in the end, and it's just like, why? Albus Dumbledore literally raised you for slaughter and was just... He also conveniently was constantly not giving him enough information for anything. I'm convinced they could have ended the books about... 7 books earlier, literally the first one, if he'd just turned around and gone, by the way, you're a Horcrux. Great, but I have so much Harry Potter rage. They will forever be one of my favourite series. But just why? You also kind of raised... What was your biggest rant with Harry Potter, other than names included, potentially?
Apart from, the series itself, I think it should have ended at Deathly Hallows, and, the cursed child should just not be a thing.
The cursed child is fan fiction, let's just leave that there.
It's the cursed child that I have the most problems with. I'm just like, this is just wrong.
I've heard good things about it on the stage, but having also read the actual script or screenplay or whatever it is, it's just... Why? Just why? Ultimately, cursed child aside, even though that whole continuation of the Harry Potter world is just ridiculous, the name endings for Harry Potter were just absolute nightmares. Yeah. Plus, I think the last line of all was fine, he touched a scar and all, it hadn't burned in 19 years, all was fine. It's like, does JK not know the literary rule of always cut out your last sentence?
Yeah. Oh, the last sentence is so bad.
It's so annoying. So this whole seven book set of books just ends with his scar. After he gets his sons, so both his two sons are going to Hogwarts, he gets them on the train, they leave, he's waving away, he touches a hand up to his scar, and it's like, his scar hadn't hurt or hadn't burned in 19 years, all was well. And it's like, why would you make the last sentence all was well? It's so bad. Just end it on the scar thing, especially as the whole defining feature of Harry is the scar. Why add this annoying three-word sentence? But... yeah, I think that's our rant done. I'm going to get so many angry messages now. I'm like, no, Severus was great. Albus Dumbledore was great. It's like, nope, they're horrible people.
Mate, I've only read the first one twice and I haven't got any fans.
Audiobooks, my friend.
And I know, I feel like I'm not in the age range anymore. As in, people grew up with them.
You can still read them. I mean, it's on the syllabus now for first-year English students, the first Harry Potter book.
I think it's come off again.
Has it?
I think so. Well, that's what someone told me.
But yeah, so anyway... we've gone through Harry Potter, we've gone through Frankenstein, we've gone through Jane Eyre. I'm sure people are going to disagree with us, but let us know when we share this all over everywhere. And if you want to debate on it or talk about other texts, then maybe we can make this a series and come back to it.
Woo.
So yeah, see you guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.